Welcome to the podcast of First Presbyterian Church of Marietta, where we are committed to changing lives with faith, hope, and love. We're so glad you are here.
Every year, at about this time, we turn our attention to John the Baptist. And this year, what amazes me about John the Baptist are the crowds. According to our second scripture lesson from the Gospel of Mark, the city and the countryside emptied out and lined up to be in his presence, which this time of year sounds like something like the kind of audience only the likes of Santa Claus would be able to command. But notice how it's not lines of parents with children who are lining up to see John the Baptist. Lining up to see John the Baptist are grown men and grown women. I believe that that's an important detail to pay attention to, because in our culture, what adults are willing to go out of their way to do often seems to have a lot more to do with what their kids want or need than what they themselves want or need. For example, I don't know how many adults frequent McDonald's for their own culinary benefit. In fact, if I were given the choice, I'd rather eat just about anything than a chicken nugget shaped in as a cowboy boot. However, if my granddaughter wanted a Happy Meal, I would gladly suffer through McDonald's, because we're willing to do all kinds of things for our kids. Something that may be true about our culture is that we are willing to do all kinds of things to make kids happy. And so maybe you, like me, are wondering who in their right mind would travel out to the desert to confess, who even has time in their schedule to do such a thing. Yet they swarmed him. They made it a priority to go and see him, it seems, though he was way out there. I don't know how far they had to travel. Surely it wasn't on a paved road. They likely had to diverge from the path of their daily routine to walk through the sand and the scrub of the wilderness to get down to the river, which is something that I know people are willing to do, but not often for themselves. Just think about what all parents will do for their kids. I showed up outside the Marietta Center for Advanced Academics at 4 a.m. to make sure that our daughter got enrolled. It was raining, and the man who got there first, the man at the very front of the line, was in these camo overalls. He had one of those pop-up tents and one of those nice folding chairs that reclines, and because he was warm despite the rain, he fell asleep. When they finally opened the doors for us to go in and register, we all just filed right past him. I said to the guy next to me, "Shouldn't we wake that guy up?" It turns out that someone else was looking out for him, and his kids got enrolled too. But my point is that we'll do almost anything for our kids. While it's grown-ups in our second scripture lesson, they went out into the desert not on behalf of their children's education. When I was a kid in Little League, my parents paid for me to have a private batting instructor. Not that it did a whole lot of good, but imagine that. I was so well cared for. My dad would come home from work having already sat in traffic. Then he'd get back in traffic to take me to this special hitting lesson. But those crowds, they didn't go out into the desert to see John so that their kid could have a leg up on the baseball field. They went for themselves. These people went out of their way to the River Jordan to see John, who was clothed with camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, but it wasn't for their kids. It was for them to confess. We need to think about that. Especially these days, we need to think about what we will travel long distances for and for whom we will make sacrifices, because so many of us will go through hardship and will take risks to make sure that the kids they love have the chance to stand before a certain man with a long beard wearing a strange outfit, but it's not John the Baptist, and it's not for the benefit of the parents, but for the kids. As a culture, we don't have any problem teaching our children that it's okay to want something for Christmas. But parents, what do you want? What do I want? I remember how long those lines were to see Santa back when I was a kid. We'd get up early and we'd have a special breakfast. Then we'd ride the pink pig before standing in the longest line to sit on Santa's lap, laying before him all our Christmas wishes. This year, many will still see him because it's important. This year, many will wait in long lines to still tell them what they want for Christmas. It's not wrong to be able to tell someone what you want. That's a skill every kid needs to have. It's okay to want things, and so we encourage our kids to write it all down. Even if they can only slip it in the mail or put it in a slot rather than place it in Santa's hand or whisper it in his ear. Did you hear that some malls have like a special pandemic Santa where he smiles from within this snow globe type enclosure so no germs can be exchanged? For things are different this year, but still we want to make sure our kids have the chance to make their wishes known. So our girls have made their wish list too. Lily, in fact, turned hers into a PowerPoint presentation with music in the background. I'm not kidding. The slides, they have different colored backgrounds, a purple if she really wants it, blue if she just sort of wants it. There's a picture of each item on each slide. There's a link for her grandparents to click on, which makes buying for her very convenient. And I've been encouraging her through this whole process, through each draft of the presentation that she started developing back in October. Because I want our daughters to be able to stand up and tell the world what they want. I want them to be able to be clear about what they need. On the other hand, nobody's really encouraging adults to do that kind of thing. What do you want to have for dinner? A husband asked his wife. Well, I don't care, his wife responded. It's hard for some adults to put something down on a Christmas wish list because many of them are used to paying attention to what other people want and need. And maybe we shouldn't be spending time on Christmas list anyway, but all these grown-ups, it was grown-ups who went out of their way to see John the Baptist. Why? What does he have to offer? Kids have their lists all typed up. A Nintendo Switch, a Baby Alive, a Hot Wheels Ultimate Garage. But what about the parents? Some dad will ask for a nice bottle of scotch. Only what will really give him peace in his soul. I can imagine a mother who can't think of much of anything to ask for, so her kids will probably just get her another scarf. Who really needs another scarf, though? What if instead she doesn't think about Santa this year and instead imagines herself lining up to see John the Baptist? What if we were all so bold to imagine ourselves lining up at the river to ask for the number one thing that every mother and every father really wants and needs. I don't even remember where I heard this. It might not be based on a study or any real data, but still it rings true. That what every father really wants more than anything else is just to be appreciated by his family. And what every mother so truly wants more than anything else is to be forgiven for all her faults. Does that sound about right? There's a comedian who has this bit about how no one ever appreciates dad a whole lot, doesn't really give him any credit. Polite sons know to thank their mothers for a delicious meal and stuff like that, but none of them ever says, "Hey, Dad, I sure do appreciate you paying the bills and keeping all the lights on in this house." Nobody says, "Hey, Dad, thank you for paying the mortgage." Can you imagine that? Dads want to be appreciated, so maybe that's what's on their Christmas list. Could that be true? Now, that way of thinking is surely based on a generalization that's not always even the way things are for most families. So many women are now the breadwinners, but maybe it sounds close enough, and maybe this does too, that so many mothers live with the fear of how their children will one day go to a therapist to work out everything that she ever did wrong and every mistake she ever made. If any of this regarding mothers and fathers really just wanting appreciation and forgiveness rings true, then think about John the Baptist as some kind of Santa Claus for grown-ups. Because instead of a wish list of presents, people voiced to him all their mistakes, all their regrets, all their second guessing. Then on Christmas morning, they look under the tree and discover again God's grace. That's nice to think about. But that's what this is all about. Jesus called people to be honest about the desires of their heart. John called people to be honest about their need for forgiveness. So what heavy burden do you need to lay down? What mistake did you make that you need to be forgiven for? What did you say that you wish you had never said? What did you do that you wish you had never done? Speak now and know that one is coming who has healing in his wings. What we see here in the Gospel of Mark is just the tip of the iceberg of the great miracle of Christianity, the true center of our faith, the focal point, the chief creed, the unique and defining attribute of what is required of us to follow Jesus, namely opening up ourselves to receive his grace. My world religion teacher said it was like that in college. Someone asked him, what's really unique about Christianity? There are so many commonalities between all the great world religions. What makes Christianity different? He said it was grace. That among all the world's great religions, all those faiths that call people to higher ideals of love and hope, it's Christianity which most boldly proclaims among them all, your imperfections are no hindrance. You don't need to be ashamed or afraid. Be honest before God about what you wish you'd done and just start again. It's not too late. Today is a new day. That feels to me especially important message this year, because who among us really feels like right now, this year, we're being our best self? You know what our girls told me the other night? They said, "Daddy, you sure have gotten a lot meaner since you turned 40. Now, I don't think that's true. But things do great on me now more than they used to. I'm shorter with them than I want to be. But being on Zoom calls for hours at a time, day after day, is just doing something to my brain. So when they leave their lunch boxes in the floor of the kitchen, or when they yell at each other in the living room, it pushes me over the edge a lot faster than it did 9 months ago. And maybe we're all just stretched a little too thin. Maybe we're all wearing down in ways we're not used to, but let me tell you this too. That world religion professor from college, I walked into his classroom on the day of a test, only I didn't know it was the day of a test. And he could tell that I was surprised and unprepared, and so he offered me grace. He said, "Joe, you can come to my office in 2 days and take the test then." Well, I did that, only I wasn't any more prepared 2 days later. Why? Because grace without repentance is wasted grace. Admitting that there's something not quite right with us is the perfect place for every grown-up Christmas wish to start. Why? Because grace is coming, but to receive it, we all must first get okay with the truth that we all need it. Amen.
This podcast is a ministry of First Presbyterian Church of Marietta. Come join us Sundays at 189 Church Street, Marietta, Georgia, or visit us online at fpcmarietta.org.